In the last shiur, we began the sugya on Daf Ches Amud Beis of Shmuel regarding Rachuv and Manhig. We got a little bit into the sugya, we didn't get far enough, so I'd like to backtrack a bit. And the Gemara says that for sure, when Shmuel said that one is superior to the other, the Rachuv or the Manhig, Chad Kani, Chad Lo Kani, it couldn't be that we were confused about what Shmuel had in mind, because we know for a fact that Manig is a Kinyan. Manig leads the animal, that's called and qualifies as Mashicha. Rachuv, on the other hand, when he sits on the animal, he's not necessarily leading the animal and causing it to move, although Tosfos insists that he causes it a little bit to move. So again, if there's a question between one of the two, Rachuv or Manig, as to which one is Kona, and the other one is not Kona, one is effective to achieve a Kinyan, the other not, then it certainly would be that Manik is effective and Rachav is not. What was the suffix that Rav Yosef had regarding the statement of Shmuel? And the answer is, says the Gemara, that we're talking about a case where simultaneously they were both one Manig and one Rachav. And the question is, in this tug of war, who would be Kona? And the Gemara right now is assuming that Rachav would be a Kinyan if it was alone. For sure, Manig is a Kinyan if it was alone. If they were both done simultaneously, which of these two would be superior and would trump the other one? And that's called in the Lashon HaShas here, just a few lines down from the top of Ches Amud Beis, Rachav B'makom manig iboile. And that's where we want to begin our discussion today. Rachuv b'makom manig. So the Gemara's language, seven lines down from the top. My rachuv adif da tafis bay, odilma manig adif di azla machmose. In other words, in this tug of war, we have to identify a mila, a superior quality to each of these two kinyonim respectively, to Rachuv and to Manhig. And the Gemara identifies in the case of Rachuv the tfisa. Tfisa means really grabbing onto the animal or control of the animal. Now, in the case of Rachuv, there was a svar in the Gemara, based on the Gemara and Kiddushin Chafei, that Rachuv would not qualify as a Kinyan. Again, the Gemara is not operating with that premise now, but within the context of that premise, that if Shmuel said, or had said, that one of these two is a Kinyan, either Manig or Rachuv, we would have assumed that Rachuv is not a Kinyan. And the reason for that, and we mentioned in the last shiur, is based on a Brice and Kiddushin that Manig requires Akiras Yad Veregel. That makes Manig into Mashicha. In the case of Rachuv, there's no Akiras Yad Veregel. It may be a slight movement, as Tosus points out here, Divir Maskel Rachuv Odif, which is the third Tosus down from the top of the page. But nevertheless, it's not a profound kind of movement that you can qualify and classify Rachuv as Manig. And in fact, there are other Rishonim that say that perhaps the animal moves a bit, but again, it's a limited kind of movement. It's not real bona fide Manig. You're not leading the animal. And therefore, the Behema is more or less, in the case of Rachuv, responding perhaps instinctually to the weight of the rider on its back, and it moves as a result from the feeling of the Rachuv being Olel Leha, but that's not considered Holech. Why? Holech means when you, the human being, cause the animal to move. You direct the animal and cause its motion, its movement. That's Manig, and that's Mashicha, but not Rachuv. Therefore, we really have to ask ourselves the question, given the fact that in the choice between the two, Rachuv and Manig, Manig is a Kinyan and Rachuv is not. Now, at this point in the Boilahu, even if I grant you
that Rochuv is in fact a kinyan, it's effective, but why would it be superior to Manig? After all, we understand very well that Manig is superior because the Akiras Yada Varadlov, the Manig is being molith the animal, but why would Rochuv be superior? And the answer is Tofus Ba. What is this Tofus Ba concept? So if you look in the Rishonim, you will see that they identify Ochuz b'mosera, that Tofus means he's holding on to the reins, what's called in Hebrew the afsar, that's the string, the rope that connects the animal with, and the rider's holding on to this rope so that he can lead the animal whichever way he wants to go. And he might want to look at Tosus de Ramaskel, Rochuv Odif. Tosus adds that it would seem from the Lashon HaGemara here that when the Gemara says Tofus, what it really means is Tofus b'mosera, that the Rochuv is, the rider is actually grabbing onto the reins of the animal. In other words, sitting on the animal alone, or even if he wraps his legs around the body of the animal, that's not considered tfisa. When the Gemara says tfisa here, it means that what does the Rochuv have that makes it, that makes the rider superior to the manig? He's got the tofes b'mosera, the fact that he's holding on to the reins. Now, Tosus goes a step further and he points out that as a result of this tfisa of the animal moves, and now we have to go to the opposite end of the spectrum and try to figure out why the manig is odif, what's superior in the case of the manig. We've now established that it's the rochev who's holding on to the mosera. The animal is in fact moving. So what's the big deal about the manig? And the Gemara says, manig odif di azlo machmosei, that the animal is moving because of the manig. It's very difficult to picture this in real terms. How exactly is the manig leading the animal if he's not holding on to the reins? It's the rochuv who's holding on to the reins. So, honestly, I can't answer that question. I can only begin to imagine that the manig is somehow standing in front of the animal and guiding it. Maybe he's clapping in front of it, or he's calling it and it comes. Maybe he stands over here and blocks the, you know, the exit of the animal from here, and therefore the animal has to go this way. In some way, he is leading the animal. And the Gemara now is presenting this suffix as to which of these two actions, the action of the rochuv or the action of the manig, is superior, makes more of a, shall we say, a profound impact on the animal. And at this point, I want to introduce a question of the Rishonim, which you'll find in the Rashba and other places. If the Meshicha is not meaningful, meaning in this case, since the Rochuv is holding on to the reins, therefore the Meshicha, the Manig, is not meaningful, it's a little bit odd, because before we just came to the conclusion that Manig is superior to Rochuv. So what would be the svara here to say that Rochuv is superior to the manik? And the obvious answer is that if we're judging a kinyan in and of itself, and one of two, either Rochuv or manik, is meaningful and effective, then it's a simple pshitale that the manik is superior to the Rochuv. The manik is really in the driver's seat. He's controlling the motion of the animal. That's true, again, if you're asking which kinyan is moil, manig is a more profound kinyan than rochuv. But if you combine them together in such a way that both of them are in the picture, there's the rochuv whose oches, he's holding on to the mosera, and he is toughest part, to use the Lashon of the Gemara, the manig may possibly pale in comparison to the rochuv. Again, when they're both in the control tower, because if they're both simultaneously implementing their actions, then it could be that the ultimate effect or impact on the animal is going to be that of the rochuv, because he's holding on to the most serum. Now, later on, the Gemara is going to assume that Rochuv in and of itself is a kinyan, And that sounds like the rochav is really causing the animal to move. Because that was the, if you remember, the superior, the quality of manig. But now we're saying that even rochav has that quality. He too is moving the animal. Then, once again, you begin to understand why rochav might be superior to manig. Now, the Sheet of Mekubetzis quotes the Ritzbash, and he's of the opinion that rochav in and of itself is not going to cause the movement of the animal. And therefore the logic tips in favor of the manik. So what was the svar to say that rochav would be superior to manik? And the answer is very strange. I don't know how to explain this psychologically. But he's saying that enochinami with rochav and no manig, if there's only rochav, that would not cause the animal to move. But when there's a rochav and a manig, then the rochav is also contributing to the movement of the animal. And in addition to that, the rochav has the superior quality that he's toughest in the animal. He's actually grabbing and, you know, he's holding on to the animal, not letting anyone take it away. So at this point we have, to some extent, a vision of the suffix of Rav Yosef regarding Shmuel's statement. One of them is Adif. It's a case of Rachav B'Makom Manig, and we don't know which one is Kona. Omer Rav Yosef, Omer Li Rav Yehuda. The Gemara is now going to come to some definite conclusion about the suffix of Shmuel. Nechse Anna. Let's analyze this from the perspective of the sources. Disnan, we have a mission in Kilayah. Now, Kilayah means you cannot lead an animal for work purposes together with another animal of a different species. The two animals together form what's called Kilayah. And indeed, there's a Masechta Kilayah in the 8th parak. There's a Mishnah of Hamanig, Sofeg es Arbon. The one who's leading the animal and causing it to move, and in this case we're talking about two animals, a chamor and a shar, or a shar and a chamor, yachtov. The Torah says, lo sakros b'shar v'chamor yachtov. So this man is leading both the shar and a chamor. He gets malchus for that. But hayoshev v'karon, imagine where you hitch on a shar and a chamor to a wagon, and there's a person who's driving the wagon. That person is Sofeg Es Harbon. He too is considered a manhig and has violated the law of Lo Tachrosh Bishar V'Chamor Yachtov, and he'll get Malchus. So basically, the assumption here of the Resha, which let's call it the Tanakama, is that Shor and Chamor, they feel when the driver is sitting in the driver's seat. And that sitting is going to cause them to move. Rabbi Meir Poter es Hayoshev Bekarom. Rabbi Meir says no. Ultimately, the one who's causing these animals to move is the manik, not the rochev. The rochev is sitting in the karon, and there's no reason why he should get malchus there because he's not doing any maisan hoga. On that, Mishnah Shmuel insists on hepuch. In other words, it's Dafka the Chachamim, the Tanakam of the Mishnah, that gives a tour to the Yoshev Bekaron, meaning Shmuel, by implementing this Epoch, is assuming that your Patur, in the case of a Yoshev, because Lo Asa Klum, he didn't do anything, the Yoshev. Who was moving the animal? It's the Manig, and therefore the Yoshev didn't have any impact. He's Patur from this law. Ushma mina, rochav lechudei lo kani. We can derive from this statement of Epoch Shmuel that Shmuel's of the opinion that rochav lechudei is not a kone, it's not a kinyan. Because again, just like in Kilayim, the rochav is not considered as if he's moving the animal and therefore he doesn't get malchus. Because now we're assuming in the epoch of Shmuel that Chachamim potrim es Hayoshev Bekaron, he's not moving the animal. If that be the case, then Rochev Levado should not be a Kinyan. The animal is not moving as a result of his Rechiva. If there was a Havamina early in the Sugya that Rochev would be Konan animal in and of himself, if there was no admixture and partnership of the Manig, that now is being rejected by the Epoch of Shmuel, because Shmuel is saying now that in Kilayim, the Rochev, who's called in the Lashon of the Mishnah Kilayim Yoshe Bekaran, is Potter. And why did the Chacham say Yepotu, according to Shmuel's Epoch? Because the animal is not being moved at all by the Yoshe Bekaram. And that, therefore, Rochev Levado would not be a Kinyan. And if that be the case, then we have a clear-cut answer to Shmuel's Safeg, Kolshkein Rochev B'moko Mani. How much more so if there were two people vying over the same animal, one was Rochev and the other was Mani. If Rochev L'chudei Lokani, as we said at the outset, then certainly how much more so Rochev B'moko Mani Lokani. It's a little bit strange that Shmuel had to present his case together with a manik. Leave out the manik. Just tell me that Rochev L'chudei Lokani, and I would certainly understand that if Rochev L'chudei Lokani, how much more so Rochev B'moko Manig? And why did Shmuel confuse us by adding the element of manik into the picture? That's kind of misleading. That makes life more complicated, and it doesn't seem to be justified. Unless, just a technical answer, Enoch Inami, he didn't have to write manik, but maybe that's what he was paskining on. That was the case that Shmuel was addressing. There was a Rochev and a Manig. So it made sense that the statement of Shmuel should mention the Manig as well. Now watch this. Yosef, Rav Yosef had said this statement in the name of Rav Yehuda. Abai was a little perplexed because Hazimn and Sagin in the past, he had mentioned this over and over again. Amrit la nechse anon. Let's analyze and try to be poshe this suffix regarding Shmuel. And you know, you, Rav Yosef, quoted the sugya of the Mishnah Kilayim. V'lo amartlan mishmei Rav Yehuda. You never said it in the name of Rav Yehuda. And we know that everything that you say in the name, you know, if you heard it from someone else, you say it, you must say it in the name of that person you heard it from. Let's get back to summarize our question over here. Now that Shmuel has achieved this epoch, and it's Dafka the Chachomim who insist that there's no Malkus in Kalayim for the one who sits in the Agala, right? That's called the, what was the language of the Mishnah there? Yoshev Bekaron, that was the language of the Mishnah. Then it means that Rochev is also not causing the animal to move, and there's no Kinyan Rochev. So if that be the case, then Shmamina Rochev Kani. Based on the Epoch, the Chachamim that we paskin like are saying Rochev L'chudei Lo Kani. And why didn't you tell me that in the name of Rabbi Yehuda? Amoleis, Rabbi Yosef turns to Abai, he says, Ibra, the truth is that it was Rabbi Yehuda who actually made the analogy to the case of Kilayim. Vidach dachirnan nami diamrile. Dachirnan means, right, in Aramaic, of course, the Zion in Hebrew is replaced by the Dalit. So dachirnan means zachirnan. I also remember that I responded to Rabbi Yehuda. And I said to Rabbi Yehuda, Hechi poshet mar, how is it that you, Rabbi Yehuda, derive a conclusion, meaning that Rochev L'chudei Lokani, from the case of Kilayim, Rochev Miyoshev, can you really accept the logical analogy between Rochev and Yoshev, meaning Yoshev Bekaron? They're two different cases. Yoshev lo tofes mosera, Rochev tofes mosera. We've been insisting all along that the Rochev is grabbing onto the reins. And if that be the case, he's in a better position than Yoshev Bekaron. So maybe Enoch Inami, even though Yoshev Bekaron, according to the Epoch, is not Chayev Malkus in the case of Kilayim, but nevertheless, Rochev, where there's a Tfisa b'mosera that's superior, is Koneh. The Amar Li and Rav Yehuda responded to me, Rav Ushmul, the Amri Travayu, B'mosera lo kani. Both Rav and Shmuel are of the opinion that grabbing onto the reins of the animal is not a meaningful kinyan in mitzia. And therefore, if we are neutralizing the element of Mosera, then there's no difference between Yoshev, Bikaron, and Rochev. Because what are you telling me? Rochev has a superior element that he's grabbing on to the Mosera. Rav and Shmuel are of the opinion that there's no significance to the Maisa of holding on to the Mosera, and therefore Rochev is left with nothing, and he cannot be Kona. Just like Yosef Bikaron is not Chayv Malkus for Kelayim. Ika Diamri, there are those who say that it wasn't Rav Yosef who had asked this question to Rav Yehuda, but rather Amar Le Abaye Le Rav Yosef. It was Abaye who turned to Rav Yosef and said, Hechi Poshit Mar Rochuv Mi Yosef, Yosef Lo Tofs Mosei, Rochuv Tofs Mosei, Amar Le Hachi Tana Idi Mosei Lo Kani. So it was actually a discourse between Abaye and Rav Yosef. And basically Abaye was saying that Rochuv is not analogous to Yosef, because Rochuv is Tofes B'Mosera. And when Abaye made this point to Rav Yosef responded, Hachi Tana Idi. And the Tana Idi, that was his name, is Mosera Lokani, that Mosera, as we saw before in the name of Rav and Shmuel, is not a Kenyan. And therefore, Rochuv does not have any one-up it on Yosef Bikaron, and certainly would not be a Kenyan in and of itself. The Gemara now deals with the case of the din of Tofes B'Mosera. Itmar Nami, we also have a limud from Rav Chelba in the name of Rav Huna regarding to a kinyan of Mosera. Somebody grabs on to the reins and he wants to be Kona Michavero. And what it says here is Kona. B'mitzia u'b'nichsa ger lo Kona. So this is fascinating because until now we've been talking about being Kona a Mitzia. And we pretty much established both in the names of Rav and Shmuel, and early in the name of Tana of Idi, that Mosera is not a Kenyan. Here, on the other hand, the Gemara is telling you, wait a minute, that's true if you're talking about the Sugya of Mitzia. But if you're talking about a Kenyan Akna, in which Reuben is being mocked an animal to Shimon, and Shimon makes a Kenyan of Achiza b'Mosera, in fact, everybody agrees that that would be effective as a Kenyan. And the Gemara is based on the fact that there's such a concept called Das Makne, whereas in Metzia, the Kenyan in Metzia is absent Das Makne, there's no Makne. And the nature of a Kenyan, as far as Metzia is concerned, is very much different than that of a Das Machna in the case of a classical Kenyan. In the case of Metzia, in the absence of Das Machna, you need a much more profound Kenyan, and Mosera is not a profound Kenyan. And that would be true in Nichsei Ager, for example. If a Ger dies without any relatives to inherit him, then his possessions become a Hefker. Somebody comes along and grabs onto an animal by pulling its rein, by grabbing onto its reins, Lokani, but in the case of a Kenyan through Das Machne, where somebody is giving a Behem over to his friend, there grabbing onto the reins is in fact a Kenyan. Now the Gemara takes a break to understand the language of Mosera. My Lashon Mosera, what's the source, the root of the word Mosera? Amar Rava, Idi, Asberli, Idi, again, he was a Chacham who explained to Rava, maybe Idi wasn't a Tana, I said before he was a Tana. Ke'odam ha-Moser Dovel Chavero. A person, when he wants to give something to his friend, in this case an animal, he transfers the animal over to his friend and says, here, you make a kinyan on it by giving him the Mosera, giving him the reins. And the Gemara says, Bishlema mechavero kani de kamasa lechavre. In the case where Reuven hands over his animal to Shimon for a personal kinyan by giving him the reins, then the Das Machne is there to upgrade the Mesira and the tfisa b'mosera to an act of kinyan. That give the tokef, the validity and the power of the kinyan to be effective is a result of the mesira. Mesira means the fact that Reuven, the owner of the animal, gave over the reins, the mesiras ha-reins, the mesiras ha-mosera, over to the Kona, to Shimon. Ella b'mitziv nitzay ger man kamosel the likni. There's no das makna. It's an object of hefker that's ownerless, and therefore grabbing on to the reins is not enough of a maisa kinyan. Now again, we finally concluded that rachuv in and of itself would not be a maisa kinyan, and in effect it has the same status as Yoshev Bekarin that doesn't engender a chiyuv malchus in the case of kilayim. And the Gemara says, Meisvei, I don't understand. The Mishnah at the very beginning of our Masechta seems to assume that Rochev is a Kenyan, because Hayu Shnei Rochev and Agabi Behema, and then we'll add another piece to the Mishnah, Baal Peh, or Echad Rochev, Echad Manig, is the Mishnah says, Yachloku. It means that even Rechiva, like Hanhaga, is meaningful and effective to be Zoch from a Mitzia. Mani, who's the author of the Mishnah? Elam Rabbi Meir. Again, this is after the epoch of Shmuel. Rabbi Meir says that in the case of Yosef Bikaron in Kilayim, he gets Malkus for that. Is Hashti Yosef Kani Rochuv Miboy? Why did the Mishnah have to tell me this Kiddush that even Rochuv is a Kenyan? In fact, according to Rabbi Meir, if Rochuv is a violation of the Iser Kilayim in the case of Yosef Bekaron, how much more so would it be effective as a Kinyan? And if this is the opinion of Rabbi Meir, then our Mishnah is a Das Yochid, Rashi points out, Ein Halacha Kimoso, Elala, but rather Rabbanon. In Shmuel's epoch, the Rabbanon were the ones who said that Yosef Bekaron is not Chayev Kilayim Shma Minah. Now we understand and justify the Mishnah's Chiddush that Rochuv is Kani, even though Yosef Bekaron would not be a Kenyan, but Rochuv is Kani. Now, this is very difficult because Rabbi Yehuda just understood that there was an analogy between Yosef Bekaron and Rochuv. And in both cases, there's the omission, the lacking of causing the animal movement. So therefore, this Rochuv is not a manik. So the Gemara says, Hachamai Askina, don't derive from either Rochuv is Kanui, but rather Manig Baragla, the case of our Mishnah is where he is able to kick the animal with his legs and cause it to move. That Rechiva is a Mashicha and is valid. Ihachi Gemara asks, Hainu Manig, Hainu Rochuv, they're basically both doing the same thing, is Trey Gavne Manig. There are two ways of causing the animal to move. Maldetem, I would have thought, Rochuv Odif, since this guy is being Manig and this guy is Rochuv, Rochuv is the superior position, and he's the one who has the tefis on the animal, he's Muxuk in the animal, there would be no Din of Yachloku. Da Manig, Vitofis Ba, he has two pluses, two elements here. Number one, through his raglayim, he's causing the animal to move. And number two, he's grabbing onto the animal in such a way that no one can take it away from him. Kamash Malon, the Mishnah wants to tell us that Rochuv is not superior to Manhig. Now, the Rishonim ask a kashi, and it's very important. Why not assume that our Mishnah is authored by Rabbi Yehuda? And you're asking me what the Chiddush of our Mishnah is, because according to Rabbi Yehuda, Yosef Bekaron is Chayav Malkus, so certainly Rochuv is a Kenyan. But maybe the Chiddush is that although Rochuv is certainly a Kenyan, according to Rabbi Meir, but how do we know that Rochuv is, in comparison to Manig, meaning in our Mishnah where one is Rochuv and one is Manig, maybe the Mishnah is coming to Bechadish that Rochuv is not superior to Manig, because we had a svara that Rochuv was superior to Manig. So Tosas, Divya Maskel Mao de Tema, addresses this question, and he says that since each one of them has a Mila, right, the rochav is tofus and the manig is leading the behemoth, and it's holechas harbe, is there was never a havamina that one would be vatal the other one. That's the way Tosfos understands why the Gemara refuses the Ukimta that our Mishnah reflects the sheet of Rabbi Meir. Now at this point, getting back to the Gemara wants to prove Shmuel's opinion that Rachuv is not Kona. Tashma, we have a brisa that says Shnaim Shayu Moshchim Begamal Umanhigim. I'm sorry, Umanhigim Bechamor. So you have two possibilities, two scenarios here. There are two that are leading a camel, and there are two that are leading a chamor. Fine. Oshe echad moshech vi echad mani. And again, we're talking about finding a metzia, an animal of hefker. And here we're looking on daf tesam and aleph. The midas zos kanu. That in this, for these scenarios, they are kona. They're both kona. Rav Yud identifies the normal way that you deal with a gamal is meshicha, and with chamor is hanaga. So when you say that they're both kone, if they're moshek begamal or manik bechamor, that's not true according to Rav Yehud. Ktani miyos, we definitely see in this brisa. Oshaya echad moshek vi echad manig. One is Moshek and one is manig. Moshek u manig in. When do we split the animal and say that they both did implemented an effective ma'aseh kinyan? That's only in the case of Moshek and manig. Aval rachuv lo. Rachuv was completely left out, and this would support Shmuel that rachuv is not zoche in a metzia. The Gemara rejects this and says no. Hu adin dafilu rachuv. Rachuv is also Zoche. V'hadik tani Moshech u'manig lafuki mit Rabbi Yehuda the Omar achet tehei Mashicha begamol and v'anhaga v'chamor kamashma dafilu ipchanami kana. In other words, if you do a Mashicha and a chamor or an anhaga begamol, you are kona. But don't use this Mishnah as a deal to exclude the case of Rachuv. Ihachi, the Gemara says, l'arbevinu v'lisninhu. He should have integrated the two dinim together. If the Tanakam indeed is of the opinion that Meshicha, in a case where it's not Darko Bekach, is still meaningful, is Larbinu V'Litzninu, it should have said, Shnayim Shayu Moshchin U'manhigim, Bein Begomel, Bein Bechamar. That would have been a clear cut, Lafuki Rabbi Yehuda. The Gemara answers, it's impossible to join them together. Why? Because the Tanakama himself admits Ika Chad Sad de lo kani. There is one situation in which there is no kinyan. Now, exactly in which case we're not sure. Ika the Amri, according to one version, it's Meshicha b'chamor, that's not meaningful. But in Gamal, you could do either of the two. The Ika the Meimar, Ika the Amri, others say Hanahoga b'gamal is not meaningful. But chamar even has hanhaga, and the istemos of misefa. Some want to explain the shita and defend the shita of Shmuel from the sefa. The Tanakhama says in the sefa b'mida zu kana, and the mashmos of b'mida zu kana of the Tanakhama is only in this case Yekona, not in another case. For me, the Zulamute Mai, Lav Lamute Rachuv. And now we have to defend Shmuel, because Shmuel holds that Rachuv is a Kenyan. I'm sorry, this is a proof, I meant to say, to Shmuel, because Shmuel is of the opinion that Rachuv is not a Kenyan. Lo, the Gemara rejects that Raya, and what is B'mi de Zulam Ute Ipcha? It's coming to exclude the other way around, that dafka meshicha is konen begamal and anhaga is konen chamar, and not the other way around. Yehachi ayna Rabbi Yehuda. In effect, that's what you're telling me. That's exactly Rabbi Yehuda's shita. And where is the machlokas? Because you're telling me Lamute Ipcha. We thought that that was exactly what the Tanakhama was arguing against Rabbi Yehuda, that even Ipcha works. And the Gemara says, the nafkamina between the two, the Tanakhama Rabbi Yehuda is Tzad Echad Delokana. As we said before, one of the two, according to Tanakhama, would work. And in that very case, Rabbi Yehuda would say, Lokana. What's the case that would work? According to the Tanakhama, would be effective. Isti Amri Mashiach B'Chamar, Isti Amri Hanhaga B'Gomor. We'll stop here.